Ladies and gentlemen, let's all stand for the reading of God's Holy Word as we move into another series within a series. For the past 17 or so messages, I have preached to you about of a forgotten faith. And today we will start a new series titled Of Hypocritical Faith. Part 1, The Lost Souls of Black Folk. No, this one. More. Leave it like that. The Lost Souls of Black Folk and White Folk. Part 30. Yes, the Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign rolls on day 757, for this is a small part of it. Since January the 20th, 2017, day 1,122, since January the 1st, 2016. Please turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 1. Verses 10 through 15. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, all of the good stuff you're doing for me, what is the purpose? Are these purpose-driven sacrifices unto me? Do they have a purpose? Saith the Lord. To what purpose is the multitude, the many, the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord. I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, God says, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me, because it is hypocritical. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. That's a term that, in a phrase, in a phrasing that only God can use. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Why? Because it's all phony. It's all hypocritical. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. When you spread forth your unholy, hypocritical hands, giving me praise, you think, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear you. I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. My, my, my. Make sure that, right, make sure that's blocked. Shall we pray? Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you, Lord, and we thank you for your goodness, for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has made salvation possible for us, as well as millions of blessings and privileges. And Holy Father God, we thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit and your Holy Word. We thank you, Lord, for your Holy Word that tells us in the New Testament that what happened with the Israelites in the Old Testament is for our example. We need to learn from them, because how you have dealt with them, you in your own way deal with us, and for we are your saints, the Gentile church, the church rather, are your saints today. And those of us who believe in Christ. And you deal with us in similar ways, and you want us to learn from the chosen people of God. And we thank you for that. And we thank you for your entire Holy Word, the Old Testament and the New Testament. Lord, help us to learn our lessons tonight and in days to come, not to be hypocrites, not to be Pharisees, not to be phonies, and to be real, to be true, to be faithful, and to be consistent. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can tell that the devil is busy. Right at the outset of my preaching, one of the cameras started having a problem. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would rebuke and bind the devil, his demons, and his hosts, Lord, from that situation. And we thank you for the other five cameras that are still working. And Lord, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would keep them working, and that your holy gospel, your holy word would go out not only across this nation but around the globe. We pray that you would demonstrate the power of your Holy Spirit, and that your holy name would be glorified, Jesus Christ exalted. And we pray for millions of souls to hear the gospel and be saved, millions of Christians to be revived, your holy name glorified, Jesus Christ exalted. For it is in his name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who are tuned in and watching, pray with us. We're having some technical difficulty with one of our cameras. We have a new man in charge, and looks like he's gotten it resolved. And we give God the glory. And but still pray with us and for us as we proclaim the gospel and proclaim God's holy word to believers as well. For the job of an evangelist is to evangelize, but he's also called to equip the saints and sometimes rebuke the saints. And that's part of his job. Be that as it may, Charles Spurgeon said, "It is a terribly easy matter to be a minister of the gospel and a church member and a church worker and still be a vile hypocrite at the same time." And he was right then, and he is right now. And that's what we're dealing with right now, a hypocritical faith, a phony faith. In this series, ladies and gentlemen, we have dealt with the tragedy of those who have forgotten the faith that made America what she is, what she became, rather. We are slowly but surely sliding away. For the first time in American history, as far as we know, we have a homosexual man married to a homosexual man running for the presidency of the United States of America. And as I told you before, and I know you don't like to hear about it, but I'm not here for you to like it. But here's the deal. Ladies and gentlemen, for the first time in history, we have that going on in our country. And as I have said to you before, Christian American values are not Christian values. And we need to keep that in mind, and we need to remember that. And sometimes we have people in the church who get it twisted, get it mixed up. But as we look at the situation, the plight of the nation of Israel, we find another and perhaps a more dangerous tendency and problem, that of a hypocritical faith. Not only the forsaking of the faith, but a hypocritical faith is worse. To have a member who is a Judas than no member at all in the church, by the way. Even in the midst of their rebellion, the people of God, the children of Israel, many of the children of Israel were faithful in performing the religious rituals. We see in the passage that I just read, verse 10, "Hear ye the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me?" But their heart was not in it. They were faithful to the law of Moses. Even in the midst of their rebellion, many of the children of Israel were faithful in performing the religious rituals prescribed in the law of Moses, but their heart was not in it. We have some people here tonight who might be in that situation. You're doing your job, you're here, but your heart is not here. Your heart is elsewhere, in a dark and black closet somewhere. Your mind is someplace else, someplace wicked and ungodly, where it should not be. We may have some who are visiting with us tonight from around the world. Hundreds visit with us via the online platforms. I'm told that we have 13 online platforms that people can watch live and listen live. We thank God for that. We know hundreds visit, maybe thousands. You might be in that situation tonight. They would go up to the temple and sacrifice to the Lord on Saturday, but go up to a hill and dance before Baal on Sunday. Hypocritical faith, a phony faith, doing our dirt on Friday and Saturday in America, and then pop up in church on Sunday morning, calling ourselves ready to serve God and lift our unholy hands before Him. I said last night, and I'll say again, I believe that, and I hope it's not true, that there may be many saved people in the church, but they have never been born again. You're religious, but you're lost. Your heart is not right. Your heart is not with God. Your mouth may be. You can sing a gospel song and get everybody shouting, but deep down in your heart, you don't love God. Your heart is not right with God. You're evil as hell itself, and you know it. There are many men in the church who are no good, and they know it. Rotten to the core. A whoremonger to the core. Not committed to their wives and their children at all. And we hear a lot about that, and we should. What is good for the goose is good for the gander. I would say that something tonight, and I will say something tonight, that many preachers would not touch, and that is, there are many women who are just as corrupt and just as evil and just as, I mean, Christian, born, I mean, saved Christians in the church, who even call themselves preachers and want to lead men and everything else, but are evil as the devil at home. And therein lies the problem, dear Christian friends. That's where the hypocrisy is played out. In the home. In the home. It's amazing how sweet people are in church on Sunday morning. How pleasant, and it's amazing how happy they are and how they smile at one another and hug one another down at the church, but don't hug nobody at the house. Don't bow your head yet. It's not time to pray. It's amazing how loving we are at the church, and how we say, "I love you, sister. You're going to be all right." How encouraging we are, but we don't encourage nobody at the church. I know that's a double negative, but it sounds better for me right now. How much we show love towards folk at the church and hug their neck, and don't hug nobody's neck at the house, you hypocrites. We're talking about a hypocritical faith, phony faith. You're a liar. Your feet ain't made and your heart pumps peanut butter. Don't bow your head yet. It's not time to pray. And we wonder where the power is. And some of us don't even wonder where the power is anymore. Preachers don't even ask where the Lord is anymore. They got their program and their little sermon they stole off of sermons.com, and they got it going on without the power of God. And can't wait to see their girlfriend at the church. Don't bow your head yet. It's not time to pray. Everybody want to pray all of a sudden. It's not time to pray right now. Evil as hell at home. Sweet as an angel in the church. Oh, and don't have a work day for the church. They can't wait to put on their Daisy Dukes and their shorts and their tight jeans that they look like they poured in to go out and help the elderly or help the homeless. And smile and grin, and they're all made up and married, but still trying to get somebody else's eye. Hypocrites at home, angels in the church, great helpers in the street, but devils at home. That's what Spurgeon said. And until we get that right, ladies and gentlemen, ain't nothing going to be right. For real. For a similar problem is impacting the church today. Not everybody. God has his 7,000. If you're going on for God and you got your heart right, your church is doing God's will the way they should, praying and getting and confessing sin, repenting of sin, turning away from evil, families or having family devotion every day, you're part of the 7,000. Keep on going on for God. Yeah, we're not talking about everybody in the church, but many of us. A Bonner survey that used 20 questions to determine whether American Christians were more like Jesus or more like the Pharisees found that most self-identified Christians in the U.S. are characterized by having the attitudes and actions researchers identified as Pharisaical. Just over half of the nation's Christians, using the broadest definition of those who call themselves Christians, qualify for this category. They tend to have attitudes and actions that are characterized by Pharisees, being a Pharisee, self-righteousness. Now, regarding this powerful passage, Dr. J. Elick Motya said, Isaiah turns now to the religious life of the nation. The placing of this topic between his review of national fortunes and social conditions is significant. The kernel of every national problem, now here this gentleman well. The kernel of every national problem is how people relate to God. And this is so true, yet so profound. He said they cannot be right anywhere if they are wrong here. And I firmly believe that, and I've always believed that. The nation cannot be right if the nation is not right with God. Dr. Motya goes on to say, religion determines everything. And this is a message many pastors don't understand. That they're the real leaders of the nation in America. But down through the years, for whatever reason, many pastors, many preachers have not stood flat-footed and told the nation what God wanted them to tell the nation. And we have the tragedy that we have now because of it. But Dr. Martin goes on, but the people were extremely religious. They expended time on monthly, weekly, and other observances, very religious. Remember the word multitude of sacrifices. The financial cost of sacrifices and offerings was considerable. It would be strange if they did not ask why, since they did so much for him, the Lord seemed to be doing nothing for them. In other words, God was disgusted with their hypocrisy. So God was not hearing their prayers or seeing, if you will, hearing their sacrifices. They did not matter because their hearts were not right. And the question tonight is for you and for me, for all of us, is my heart right with God, especially to folk in the church? Is what I'm doing really for the glory of God? The little sacrifices that I'm doing, am I doing it for the glory of God because my heart is right with God, because I love God back because he first loved me? Are the conferences that we're having and the symposiums and the assemblies that we're having, are they really for the glory of God, or are they really designed to make a quick buck? And the reason why I ask that is because over the past several days, they have this new, the world does it, the world has done this. Now the church has picked it up. Have you noticed this thing, this new thing? Even on Christian conferences, Christian meetings. Come to the conference, you know, you pay $45 to come. And then if you want to be a VIP, of course, which means VIP means very important person in the church. Wow. And that you know, then you'll be able to see the person who is going to be hosting the conference and speaking and so forth. And they're beyond important, evidently. They're celebrity Christians, I suppose. And so, now all the other people who paid $145 or $1,000 or whatever it is to come, they can't come to this little special meeting that we, you know, the very important people, which translates into the people who have more money. You can't sit in the luncheon with us. You have to sit on the outside. Because you're not very important. And we're super important. We're the celebrity Christians. Come on, people. We ought not to be doing stuff like that. But this is the church off the rails today. And some of these conferences have only about 80 people, and they may have about 8 very important people, I guess. And it's just sad. It's just pitiful. And we as believers ought not to engage in such foolishness. Some of the meetings, probably half of the meetings, over half of the meetings that many churches have and many groups have today should be canceled. And I will lovingly encourage you people not to go to them. Some of you pastors need to stay home and spend time with your wife and children and raise your children for God and stay with your church and go to prayer meeting on Wednesday night and start a daily prayer meeting and a daily gospel meeting and witness to people instead of gallivanting across the country to every little conference, following every little church guru who thinks they have something going on when they don't have anything going on. Not for you, because you're not them. We have a whole bunch of pastors across the country trying to be Andy Stanley. You can't be Andy Stanley because your father's not Charles Stanley. And Andy Stanley cannot touch the hem of his garment, if you will. Stop trying to be somebody that you're not and be what God called you to be. You ought to stop reading all of these blogs by pastors, listening to every preacher, stealing sermons from preachers and then lying about it. You need to hear from God Almighty, dear pastor, dear preacher. Stop listening to preachers. Stop looking at all of these television, Christian television shows, TBN, and the other one. I don't even watch them. Stop doing that and get what God wants you to do and say straight from God. Now that's free. It would be strange, ladies and gentlemen, if they did not ask why, since they did so much for him, the Lord seemed to be doing nothing for them. But that is just the point. Their religion was what we do for God, and not how we enter into the grace he offers to us. And beloved, I fear that in too many churches today, there is a lot of activity for God and religiosity towards God, and very little of God working through the people by his grace. Because we are so proud and so arrogant and so hypocritical. We're so full of ourselves that we don't want that. We want to serve God in our own strength and in our own might. That's why we don't pray. That's why we don't seek the power of the Holy Spirit to do anything. And not only that, don't depend upon the power of the Holy Spirit. We have our machinery. We got Pastor so-and-so's method. And it worked for him in Atlanta, so it can work for us in Denver. And so, beloved, we must remember, it is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's just one quarter of the message. And God is leading me to stop right now. I think you have enough to deal with tonight. And Lord willing, I'll preach the second quarter tomorrow night, if it be the Lord's will. But before we go, if you are a Christian participating in this meeting tonight, here are three things you need to do. Number one, confess and repent of your sins. Confess and repent of your hypocrisy, your phoniness, your lies, your thievery, all of the garbage that you're hiding and that you won't tell the truth about, your bad heart, your bad attitude, your bad spirit, how mean as the devil you are with your husband and with your wife, how mean and hateful you are towards your own children, how disrespectful you are and hateful you are towards your own parents, how corrupt you are with your own finances, how that not only do you rob others, you rob God. You rob God's work, not only with money, but with talent and with time. You are a hypocrite. You are a phony. You don't go to church for God. You go to church to show your behind. You like the mm-hmms and the compliments you get. You like the looks you get. You go with the wrong motive, the wrong heart, the wrong spirit, the wrong mindset. God is not even on your mind, and that's why God is not hearing your prayers. That's why God is sick and tired of your dirty, filthy, unholy hands going up, talking about, praise ye the Lord. And you can't wait to hop into a bed with a homosexual. You can't wait to giggle with a transvestite because of the evil you're doing. You can't wait to giggle with somebody you're not married to under the sheets. Don't bow your head yet. It's not time to pray. You can't wait to get on social media. Some churches ought to ban phones in the church. You don't need your phone in the church. Some pastors ought to ban, if you come here, leave your phone in your car. Talk about people being addicted to pornography. They're addicted to their phones and social media and to all the crazies who do crazy stuff to get you to look at it so they can become millionaires off of you until they fall off of a cliff trying to take a selfie. You already know what your sins are. Confess your sins and repent. And repent of your hypocrisy, your phoniness, your hypocrisy, your pride. Number two, pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ to repent of their sins as well and get back to their first love. Don't go pointing your little bony finger at them. Just remember you got three more pointing back at you. It's me, it's me, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. And then number three, pray for souls to be saved and do your part by witnessing to the lost. Now, dear friends, if you are with us today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in Him for your salvation from sin and hell. First, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all have done wrong. We all have done evil. From the Pope on down, everybody. And then secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We die because of sin. That's why we have funeral homes. That's why we have graveyards. Our body goes to the grave. Our soul goes immediately to hell if we have never trusted Christ as Savior. So thirdly, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Hell is a very real place. Hell is a sad place. Hell is a bad place and is bad news, but I have good news for you tonight. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, that is, perish in hell, but have everlasting life. Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will save you. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. So believe on the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Believe that he suffered and bled and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. Pray and ask him to save your soul, and he will save you. You have God's word on it. You have God's promise, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, as we pray the sinner's prayer, or the prayer of salvation. Mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon me and forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered and bled and died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and help me to turn from my evil ways and help me to follow you for the remainder of my life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and for his sake, amen. Dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com or one of our other emails or receptacles and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good. Is my prayer.
I don't know why Jesus loved me.